William, what's good, brother? Thanks for taking the time to come on. I know you're a busy man, bro. We've been meaning to get this going for a
Oh,
while.
yeah.
So yeah, man. Finally glad we're here, man. I mean, I know a bit of your journey. You play with one of my best buddies, Baptiste. So I look forward to hearing some of the journey and getting into it, bro. So
Yeah,
yeah, man,
let's do
if you could just introduce yourself real quick, your name, where you're originally from, how old you are, your position, and where you're currently playing.
Okay, so yeah, my name is William Accio. My position, I've been playing striker a lot recently due to injury, but I'm usually a winger, left or right. And I was born in South Sudan, Africa. So I don't know if a lot of people know where that is. But yeah, I was born there and I immigrated to Canada when I was about 3 years old. And then from there on, I've just been raising Canada my whole life. And I play right now at Ross County in the Scottish Premiership.
Awesome, bro. Awesome. Yeah, so if you could just tell some people, where South Sudan is, for a lot of the North Americans that aren't so good with geography on the map, where it is, what kind of countries surround it, and then I know you play for the national team now, so
Yeah.
love to hear about that as well.
So it's just south of Africa, all the way down below. So it's near like Kenya and it's
Okay.
near Ethiopia. So around in that region over there. And no, it's completely different than football over here, life over here. There's lots of struggle still. We're still going through a little bit of a civil war right now. It's crazy that it's 2023 and this is happening. But yeah, I'm proud to represent my country.
For sure, brother. I'm sure there's no better feeling. Yeah, man. So if you could just take us through, did you start playing football when you were younger? I mean, obviously maybe you don't remember as much when you were younger in
Yeah.
South Sudan, but when did you start playing the game?
So no, actually, so when I immigrated to Canada, I was actually a hockey fan. I was like a big hockey boy. I had goals and aspirations of playing in the NHL one day. Like that was a big part of my life. And then as I got older, it got like really expensive. I don't know if you guys know, but hockey is like a very expensive sport with the skates and all the gear and stuff. So I tried up soccer. I was playing soccer and started out playing when I was around 12, 11, 12 years old. I used to play before with my brothers, just out in the field and stuff. It was a fun sport, cheap sport to play. But I started playing like organized soccer when I was about 12 years old. And I just realized that I was just faster than everybody. So I was just like, yo, like this is cool. I'm running past everyone. Parents are getting mad at me, kids are getting upset at me, they can't catch me and stuff. So from there on is when I grew love for the sport and I just kept it going. So yeah, right from 12 years old.
Awesome. So did you when did you start playing, organized soccer, organized football?
Okay, yeah, so
What
it was
club?
summer of, when I was 12. I was turning 13. I played for a local club called Calgary Northside. And very, very small club. It was like boys and girls at the time. And then once I got up to U14, that's when it was just all boys and then U16 and onward. And for me, that was life changing. The second I was in organized sport and it was like competitive, that's when like my competitiveness grew within myself. And I was a monster, honestly, when I was younger. I just wanted to beat everyone, wanted to be the best. And then from there, I just told myself I want to go pro.
So, at what age did you tell yourself, when did you have that realization that you want to play
I'm gonna
professionally?
say around like 14, between 14 and 16. I feel like I love just doing it for fun. We used to, even when we lose games and stuff, we'd go and get ice creams and stuff like that. Like those were one of my best memories with my mates at the time. And then my coach told me, Matt Thomas, I think it was at U16, he just told me like, you're playing a year ahead with older guys in your group, and you have talent to really take it far, but it's gonna be difficult. Like there's gonna be lots of challenges and stuff. And at first I was kind of just like, yeah, we'll see what happens. I just want to keep having fun. And then we went to a trip in Seattle, my first trip, first time on a plane. We went there, we had like a little tournament, and I scored the most goals. We lost in the semifinal. But it was like right after that trip, I knew I was like, oh my goodness, yeah, like I can take this. I can take this really far. I can take this sport really far. And that's when I kind of just gave my life to the sport, made all the sacrifices I had to hanging out with friends and stuff like that. Especially at a young age, like you probably know as well, it's tough to make those kind of sacrifices. You want to hang out with your friends, you want to go have a good time. But for me, I was just like, no, I need to train. I need to train because I had like a vision in mind.
Absolutely. So how old were you at that tournament in Seattle when
So I was 15.
15? And
Yeah.
then did you continue playing for Calgary until you went to college, or what was your
Yeah.
journey to college?
So I was playing I played youth up until U18, right? So you're 17, 18. And then from there, I had no offers, man. I had no offers from any colleges.
Wow.
I didn't really have any help to find any colleges. I had no idea about that pathway. So I ended up trying to join the USL team at the time, Calgary Foothills USL. We were in the USL too. And I went to tryouts. I got cut like after the second day. And then after that, it was okay, I'm done. I'm finishing up high school. I could make the USL team. So now I just got to find a college, like anything I can find. So I just went on a walk on to like a local college in my city called Sait Calgary. So I ended up being there for 2 years. So I went there my first year. I went to tryouts, and honestly, it was just like I knew the level wasn't for me. It was just like really, really easy for me, like playing, running a lot. And these kids like didn't really care about football that much. They were kind of just there to get the education and, you know, just enjoy soccer. So I went through that, and the coach there, his name is Grant Stevens, he was telling me like, oh, we're gonna get you out of here as soon as possible. Like I can tell you want to play, you know, you want to play higher level, you want to play as high as you can, you want to go to Europe one day. So he just told me, just stick with me, you know, we'll just get this done, stay a year or two, and we'll try to get you a scholarship outside of here. So I was there for 2 years, and then the following year I tried again for Calgary Foothills, and I made it to like the final tryouts where we were playing games against like Lethbridge and Medicine Hat and all the other universities. And he didn't really take me. He said, you can stay and train, but you know, that's all I have for you right now. So usually, you know, when young kids hear that, you know, they get discouraged, you know, they don't want to continue pushing. But for me, I was like, yeah, I bet, like I'll take that, like I'll train. So I was training, and I was like one of the youngest guys there, and I was training literally the best. And literally halfway through the season, he gave me an opportunity to sign. So I signed for the USL too, like halfway through the season, and then I could stop working a little bit because they were paying a little bit of money at the time. So I stopped working my dishwasher job, and then I just was focusing on that, and we made it all the way to the semifinals. I didn't really play at all in the season. I would come on for like 10, 15 minutes. You know, most games I'd actually come on and score. So both of our strikers were injured in that time frame during the semifinals and finals. And it was my time to step up. He pulled me into the meeting, and he's just like, hey, like you're gonna play these two very important games. Everyone's strikers are injured. One of them couldn't travel. So I played, I scored 2 goals, got an assist in the semifinal. This was in LA against Golden State. And then that was like probably one of my best games of my career.
Well,
And then from then on, we went on to the final, had a good performance, and we ended up winning 4-1 in the final. And that was like the biggest thing for Calgary to win the USL 2 championship. So I was happy to be part of that group. And then from there on, I had the option. I got like a few full ride scholarship offers, and then I decided to go to Texas and play for UTRGV. So everything happened so fast. It was all like within that
For
last month.
sure. For sure. Yeah, I mean, dude, like you said there, you popped it in quickly. I don't know if people noticed, but dude, you got cut the first round, after 2 days. Then you came back, you gave it again. And I wanted to go back also, but I wanted to finish my thought here because you brushed it off so quickly. USL 2, boom, cut, and then you're like, you know what? Let's go. I'm gonna find my next opportunity. And like you said, people get discouraged. But then the second time I think was even more noticeable. The coach offered you only the ability to train. And instead of getting discouraged, like you said, you said to yourself, I'm going to take the most of this opportunity. And you had the ability, to stay in to train. You were training the best. You got your opportunity, and then you perform well, and then now you're out here getting full rides. So, like you said, man, it happened so quick. No offers. You didn't have any help. You didn't know about the path. And then you just, I think what you did there is you focused on the place you were at. And I think that's huge for a lot of young players to listen to. Something that I wish I knew was, stop trying to focus on, the next level Europe and just try to be the best player in the place you're at. So obviously you did that and opportunities came. So what was your mindset, when you had those two, obstacles with this Calgary USL team?
My mindset was like, I knew myself, right? Like I knew I was a good player. I knew I was good enough to play at that level. 'Cause when we train with the team, I would do good, and players would tell me I would do good. But I realized like very young on that it's only going to be the coach or the manager that's going to like literally set you up, you know? So if they don't like you, and if they don't trust you in the moment, like they have the final decision. So you got to just believe in yourself. You can't let one person You can't let one person dictate your emotions. You can't let one person get you upset. So one thing I did, I was just like, no, I'm not gonna get too upset about it. You know, I was a little bit sad, of course, but I was kind of just like, no, I just gotta keep training, keep working hard. And if I keep performing and keep showing them that I should be on this team, then they're gonna have no choice but to play me, but to sign me. So my mentality throughout the whole time was just like, just keep training, keep working hard. Like, you're one of the best players out here. They're gonna sign you eventually. Like, I was a new kid on the block, so you know, nobody really knew me at the time, so I had to kind of just establish myself and prove it to them. So I was just hungry,
Absolutely.
man, the whole time, just super hungry, because at that time I had nothing, and you know, I don't want to be
Absolutely.
washing dishes for much longer.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, so like you said, you really developed that mindset of, like you said in the beginning of, you knew that you were a monster right away and you just believed in it. So I think everyone talks about believing in yourself, but it's really the ability to put that, into action is the goal, So how did you, you said you had no idea about the college route. How did these scholarships come about?
So it's funny. So there was a game. We had a game against Seattle. This is like, I think, quarterfinal. And there was two scouts, Paul Lees, which was my college coach, Paul Lees and Donovan. And they came to actually watch. They just came to scout some USL2 games in Seattle. And I didn't play. I came on in like, I want to say the 77th minute or something. I think I remember. And I was very energetic. Like, I was just like running like my life depended on it. Because every minute I got on that field, I just wanted to make sure that I made an impact. And I almost scored a couple goals. I had some really good runs. I was like coming back and defending with my fullback playing on the wing, just like, you know, moving mad. And after the game, I was like, you know, we lost. I mean, sorry, we won, but you know, I didn't have a really good game. And because I want to score, for me, if I'm not scoring, if I'm not assisting or something with the time that I have, I feel like, you know, I haven't done that well. So, you know, I was kind of bummed out, and comes up to me, pats me on the shoulder, and he's just like, hey, like, we like you. We're from UTRGV, Texas, University Division One, and we want to keep an eye on you. We're thinking about offering you a scholarship just out of nowhere. And I'm like, holy smokes, like, so random. So then they kept in touch, and after the semifinal final game, they're just like, yeah, we're gonna send you for a scholarship. I was supposed to go on a visit, but you got to pay for your own visit, so I couldn't really afford that at the time. So I just told them, yeah, like, what do I got to do? Get me there as soon as possible. Got my papers done within 2 3 weeks, and like I was on a plane ride to Texas. So it was really, really fast. Yeah,
So how old were you when you made that move?
I was 18 turning 19.
Okay. And
Yeah.
what did you know, coming from Canada, what was your thoughts on like the university system in the US?
I honestly didn't do like too much research about the whole system. I just knew NCAA. I just knew the different levels there was, and I knew that was the highest level. So for me, I was just like quite nervous, but I was honestly just going into it like blindly. I was gonna see what I could do with it. Like, at that time, man, I was just super confident with myself. Like, you know, I just thought myself as like a massive superstar, and like just
For
getting this
sure.
opportunity gave me more confidence in myself. And I just told myself, the second I land there, I'm just gonna go and smash it.
Love
Whatever
it.
happens, whatever obstacles come my way, I'm just gonna go and do my best. So
Love
I was just ready for it at that time.
that. Yeah, so obviously you got that opportunity. How was that first year you were there?
My first year was there. It was funny. I got in a little bit of trouble when I first came in, first week training camp. The boys were very like, I don't know how to say, very judgmental of me.
I
You know,
hear
I walk into the team room, everyone's kind of sitting there. I came really late, like 2 weeks before the season started. And the coach is like, oh, this is William, he just won the USL2 championship. Like, he's gonna be joining us and stuff. Like, guys, be nice to him. He's from Canada, whatever. And first training session, the boys are coming in, tackling me hard, like cussing me out and stuff like that.
Really?
And I kind of expected, you know, new boy on the block coming in, you know, trying to take someone's
Yeah.
spot. And yeah, bro, I got in a little argument, got in a fight with one of the captains and stuff, talked him really hard. I shoved him and we got in a little scrap. And then I got suspended my very first week there for a week. So I missed the first two
Wow.
games and I was like super upset. And I feel like my coach did it for me just as a lesson. And came back, everything was really good. And my first year, I got like newcomer of the year. I scored
Wow.
7 goals, 14 assists. And I was just on fire, man, honestly. Like, it was really, really enjoyable. Everyone was just like super loving, like the facilities they had you set up. It was almost like a professional environment over there. So I just thrived. Like, I just thrived very well my first year.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's interesting that you said, another quick turn. I mean, the boys are coming in giving you crap that you're the newcomer and stuff like that. Do you think, because I think this is something that's to think about, like if people are trying to bully you on the pitch and they're throwing these tackles. I mean, my belief is what you did, obviously the goal is not to get suspended, but stuff happens. But, if you show that you're a lion and you fight back, then that stuff maybe comes down a little bit. So, do you think when you came back from that suspension, did you start to get respect from some of the guys because you stood up to the captain?
Yeah, 100%. Like as soon as I came back, it was like I was like part of them almost, It
Like
was almost like a little like
a
initiative
gang.
kind of thing. They
Yeah.
just wanted to see what type of person I was and stuff. And right away they knew that, we have a fighter here, he's gonna help us. So that's how they treated me after that. They're just like, yeah, he's gonna help us. We need him to help us win games and stuff. And at the time we were only like what, 100th in the nation out of like 202 teams. And after that first year we got down to like top 25, almost made the tournament, and now it was really good after that. I think it's very important for young athletes, especially at a young age, to be furious, man, to be a monster. Don't be shy, because people see it, coaches see that, and especially when they see that when you're young, they know that you're gonna continue to go up. But if you go into a new environment and you're shy and you're scared and you kind of just walk around and stuff, that's not attractive for coaches, for players. They're not going to trust you as much. They want to see that you have something about you. And I feel like I've done that very well growing up.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously knowing where you're at right now, it's a dog eat dog world. I mean, no one cares about your feelings,
No
man.
one.
No one cares about emotion. So, yeah, I mean, just like you've been saying throughout the conversation, you got to have that belief in yourself and be able to develop the resilience, and
Yeah.
continue to build yourself because, if you really like a lot of the people that are going to listen to this podcast, if you want to become a pro, you're going to have to develop that mental hardening and obviously physical hardening to get to the next
Yeah,
level.
hundred
So
percent.
yeah, man. How was the level in college compared to USL 2? How was the lifestyle? Did you learn some new habits and routines, off the pitch that, felt that you feel have taken you to the level that you're at right now in college?
Yeah, 100%. It was the level. I'm gonna say the level between like college and like the USL and stuff and pro is. It's quite similar. Like you got some really good teams. The top 20 to 30 teams can easily battle against USL teams. Maybe not MLS, but USL teams for sure. And they had you set up in a way where it was like, you wake up, you guys all have to have like the same kind of schedule, because we have trainings early in the morning, like 7, 8 a.m. we're training, and then everyone has their classes from like 10 to like 2, and then sometimes we'll have a gym session after our classes after 2, and then after that we'll have an evening session. So it's a very like professional environment. They set you up with tutors, so you get all your schoolwork done, and it was very nice, man. Travel every week, like you get to do your work on your own time, and it was almost like they were setting you up for a professional environment. But a lot of kids, a lot of students, like half of them, they were just going to school to play soccer, to play soccer. They're just having fun with it, to get an education, to get a scholarship, But then a good chunk of them really want to make it pro. So that's why they have it set up in a way where, once you go into the pro world, everything is kind of, you kind of know everything already. And like for me, the biggest thing was like dieting, because growing up, I didn't really believe in dieting or like that. Like I was just eating whatever I could just to get some energy to go play. But I realized, once the trainings got more intense, once the level got harder, I had to really take care of my body. I had to stretch a lot. I had to be in the gym. Now I love staying in the gym and stretching all the time. Now I watch some of your stuff too, you know what I'm saying? So
Appreciate it, man.
it's good stuff. So that was the toughest thing for me, was just to understand the whole body of the football, and just staying in the gym and staying healthy.
For sure. For sure. Yeah, so how'd the second season go for you? Seven goals, 14 assists, newcomer of the year, how'd the second season go?
Second season, so everything, I look back and I'm just like, I get the scholarship, I get to USL 2, everything is going good in my life, for maybe 2 years straight. And then after that, second season comes, and it was like, that was probably one of my toughest seasons of my career so far, I would say, in my life. I was doing very well. I had like 7 goals with 7 games left, top goal scorer in the league. And I had some MLS teams watching. They wanted me to go in the draft after a second year, so everything was going very well. It was almost like too good to be true, right? And we had a game in Las Vegas, I mean California, against California Baptist. I was performing very well. There's some scouts there, almost scored in like the first couple of minutes. I was just controlling the game, doing my thing. And then I go up to chest the ball, come down, and my knee explodes. So did my knee, and that was like, I couldn't believe it, because that was like my first injury, right? So right away, as soon as that happened, I knew right away this scout's not gonna care anymore. I gotta go through rehab. Like, I'm done. Cause like I knew it wasn't just a little knock, like my knee, like I just heard everything explode inside my knee, done my
What
meniscus,
happened? You
MCL.
landed poorly or?
Huh? No, I didn't land poorly. I think it was just like overwork, like just like training throughout the years, playing so much, and just kind of my knee kind of just gave up. And so I did my meniscus, MCL, LCL, did all that stuff, and I was out for like 7 months. And that just put an end to my season, like halfway to the season. And that one for me was like super hard, just super depressed. I wanted to go home. I was kind of just like, screw this. Like, I'm not gonna ever be the same again. And I had to take some time to myself, like a good month or two to myself, and just, just try to stay positive. But at that time it was hard, especially with your first injury and with, everything that was gonna happen with the MLS draft and all that stuff. And my coaches told me, like, listen, man, like you're here for 2 more years at max, like you have time, you just got to get back and get healthy. And then, I was kind of just right off that second year, and I just had to recover for year three.
So, what was your mindset through rehab? Because, obviously, like you said, your first injury, I mean, rehab is obviously essential, but it takes time, very boring, a lot of micro movements. I think a lot of us, as footballers, we're just used to moving explosively,
All the time.
powerfully. So when it comes down to those small stability movements and really getting those muscles firing, it's not as easy as the compound movement. So how did you, what was your mindset throughout the entire rehab? Like, obviously, you had your ups and downs, but how did you look at it?
So before the rehab, but like I was out for like a month just on crutches and just not doing much. So at that point, that was my hardest. So I was just like super down and stuff. Like my teammates would try to come and cheer me up. Super down. I didn't want to talk to anybody, family. I was just wanted to be alone. And then, like as I started, I was able to walk again and like slowly get back into gym. And I got my rehab program. Something just switched. Something switched in my mind right away. And just that line came back. And I was just super positive. I just told myself, I'm gonna come back stronger. I'm gonna come back stronger. Getting to get ready for the next season. And then after that, I was just like, I was fine. After a couple months, honestly, I was fine. Like, I let myself, I think one thing I did well was I let myself kind of grieve. I just accepted everything. I just understood everything that was around me that was going on. And then after a while, I was like, okay, I can't be like this forever. So once I can walk again, once I can get into rehab, I'm just gonna go back to that line mode. I'm just gonna absolutely smash it. So yeah, my rehab process, I killed it, came back like 2 months early. Might have been a bit too early, but I felt really good. Came back in 5 months. And yeah, it was super positive for me.
And how'd that third season end up?
That third season was that was really good. That was my final season I was there. So I ended up scoring like, what was it, 10? So that was a COVID year. COVID happened and it kind of pushed everything back. So the season was about to start and then COVID happened, so it pushed it all the way back into the spring. So I missed out on that draft in the fall, because usually the draft is in that December, January period. So they said I can stay a fourth year if I wanted to and try to get into the draft, or if you have any opportunities, you can just take that in, take that right away. So that third year came, we had like 11 games. I scored in every game. I got 4 assists as well. We made it all the way to the semifinal of the conference tournament, and I was like top goal scorer. I got player of the year. I got like All American. I got like all the awards and stuff. And for me, that was really emotional for me, because I came back from a serious injury and I was just like super positive, and I smashed in my third year. So after that third year, I had the option to come back and stay another full year and get into the draft or play in the CPL. So that's when I took the route to go to Canada and play the CPL, because my thought process was kind of like, if I stay, anything else can happen, another injury, whatever. But if I just go, I can get my professional career started early and move from there. And I feel like I made the better decision.
For sure. Yeah, it's unbelievable, dude. So how'd that opportunity come about in the CPL?
So it was funny, because that season was about done, and I'm getting some calls from some CPL teams. It was Valor at the time. It was only Valor and Pacific. And, you know, they just said, you know, we'd like to have you come down and, you know, train with us and potentially sign and everything. And my agent at the time, he wasn't really my agent, but he told me, like, he's like, I'm an agent here in the CPL, like, you got some good looks. I would like to take care of you and everything. And this is Josh from Econ Sports. And so there was the Calgary team that they went from USL to CPL, but they weren't really interested in me at the time. They wanted me to come and do like a 2 week trial and everything. And Valor wanted me in Winnipeg. They wanted to sign me right away, sign the papers, come fly down, let's get the season started. So for me it was, do I take a trial with my home team, or do I just take the guaranteed offer? So I took the guaranteed offer because I don't know. I felt a little bit disrespected. Like, that was my home team. We won a championship together, and you want me to come on trial for 2 weeks. You know what I mean? So I just took the guaranteed offer, you know, and Valor treated me like a king over there. So I enjoyed it.
Wow. So was that Calgary team, is that the same club that you won the USL with?
Yeah. So after we won the USL, a year later, they got the team, they got the bid into the CPL, and now they're called Calgary FC. So, yeah.
Solid. So first professional contract with Valor.
Yeah, first place, yeah.
Awesome. Let's talk real quick about my boy Baptiste. What was your first impression of
Bro, there's a guy,
him?
man. He was like
Something
so,
special.
you can honestly, I could tell he was just filled with like knowledge and like so much stuff. Like, I can tell he's been through a lot in his own career. You know what I mean? He's just like, first time I seen him, I was like, man, this guy's big, center back. He's aggressive, but he's very calm. You know what I mean? Like, it's almost like he
He's got feet, dude.
chooses when to be a maniac, and then, you know, sometimes he's calm. And he was our captain as well, so it was just it was very interesting to see. But he told me that when you first came, he's just like, he talked to the gaffer. He's just like, we're signing this dude from college, really? Like, you know, he wasn't convinced. He's like, who the heck is this dude? So I came and he tested me a little bit, man. He bullied me a little bit, told me to pick up the balls, like a little meanie. But once the season started going on, I started to see what type of person he is. He's a very caring person. And, you know, he really cares about his boys, and he wants to make sure like the team is doing the best as best as they are. But Jean-Baptiste, man, that guy was different type of footballer, that's for sure.
He's a legend, bro. I mean, dude, the guy has feet, man, can ping both feet,
Crazy.
you know,
Crazy. He
with that body.
would tell me sometimes in games, he'd be like, yo, just get out wide. Whenever I make eye contact, just make that cut running through the middle, and I'll
Zips
just
it.
pop it to you. He just pop it to me every time.
Right on a dime.
Crazy.
I always joke with him though. I was like, bro, if you took care of yourself like I took care of myself, you'd be playing in the prem, bro. Swear.
100%. See, that's the thing with him. He's just not bothered sometimes. You know what I mean? Like, he won't do his stretches. He won't do his gym. He'll just chill, go home, relax, play his video games. Like, you
True
know, some people are
natural.
like that.
But I think also those guys as well, you know, I talked about it with my buddy Dennis Chin, who I had on. You know, some guys, you know, that works as well, where it's like if they were super strict, you know, then maybe they wouldn't play their best football. You know what I mean? So I
Exactly.
think it's also, you know, based on the guy, you know.
Yeah, 100%.
So run us through. So how'd that season go with Valor? You know, obviously I know you did pretty well.
Yeah, so that year of Valor, I don't know. I was just like, I don't know. I was like in a complete different mindset, like trainings and games. It was my dream to play professional, right? So now that I'm here, it was just like I had the world in my hands, I almost felt. So I didn't really play at first. I didn't play a lot in the beginning, and I kind of understood, you know, it's my first year pro. Let me just kind of suss things out. And the gaffer told me, he's like, you'll get your opportunity, don't worry, like it'll come. So I didn't play the first few games, and then my second game that I played, I came on like 80th minute, scored my first professional goal. This is in the bubble. And then after I scored my first goal, I was just super hungry for more. So we ended up, how many goals I score? I think I scored like eight goals, three assists my very first year. We weren't doing too well halfway through the season. Like, we were near the bottom. Our gaffer got sacked, and that was also a first time for me, you know, gaffer getting sacked mid-season. New gaffer comes in, and the last 12 games, and he's just like, you're playing every game. Like, I've seen you. I like you. You bring a lot to the table, and that just gave me so much more confidence. So in those last five, six games, I scored twice against my home team, Calvary. Scored like every game in the last five games, and then from there on, there was my agent told me there's offers in Europe. Like, you know, they're looking in the Canadian market, and also my little brother at the time, he played for Calgary. He's just like, yeah, you and your little brother, like, you know, there's offers. You guys are like big names right now in Canada, and they're looking at you. So that just gave me so much reassurance for myself that I had such a good year, scored a bunch of goals and stuff, that if I come back next season and do the same thing, I'll be, you know, I'll be set and I'll be out of here. So it was very nice, man. I was just very excited, honestly. Every game I went into was just like, I was never nervous. I was just very excited. The team was just like super caring, and you know, they took care of me very well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you point out a key point there, and it's a question that I'm sure you get, you know, and I've gotten all the time is, you know, how do you deal with, you know, obviously, you know, you've really ranked up, you know, quite quickly. How do you deal with, quote, the nerves, you know, that some people might deal with when going into big games and playing at higher levels?
That's a good question. For me, it's just like, there was a time where I didn't really know how to deal with my nerves. I get nervous, man, like almost before every game, big games and stuff. Like, I do get really nervous, but it's just like, I kind of just think to myself, I'm like, okay, it's like, it's natural. It's natural to be nervous, but don't let it like affect your game. Like, be nervous. But the second, for me, it's just like, it's a thing I do. The second I step onto that field and I warm up, I do the pregame, I just let everything just washes away. But like before the game, you know, when you're eating your breakfast, you know, you're traveling there and stuff, like those, that's when the nerves really kind of start to build up. So once I get into the locker room and I get my boots on, I'm just ready to go out, I kind of just tell myself like, nah, like it's time to go, you know, it's time to go fight, you know?
Yep.
So it's tough, but I try not to tell people not to be nervous. You know, it's okay to be nervous, accept it, but don't let it take over you completely.
Absolutely. You just took the, you know, words out of my mouth. I mean, you know, I've been writing stuff down here, and you said as well with the injury, you know, just accept it. And I think, you know, that's the same thing with most circumstances. You just got to accept it and move forward.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like Bruce Lee said, you know, be calm like water, you know, let it wash away. And then, you know, just like you said, I mean, I think you can either use the nerves and the butterflies that you have pregame as negative, or you can use it as positive and look at it as excitement. So
100%. Yeah, I mean, because there's been times where, like you said, I used to know those nerves negatively, and I get into a game and every touch I take is bad. You know, I'm not focused. You know, I'm offside. Like, I'm in a huge little predicament with myself, and I'm just like, I'm not focused. So after you go through a couple of those, you kind of know, like, nah, I gotta be sharp, man. Like, it's okay to make mistakes, you know, but just don't make the same mistake over and over and over again. Absolutely. But if you go into a game and you're super nervous and your feet aren't right and you're shaking, like, you're gonna make the same mistake over and over again. So it's all a mental challenge at the end of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. With that being said, just a quick follow up. You know, if you do make a couple mistakes in the beginning of the game, how do you get that composure back and that belief in yourself? You have any tricks, or, you know, complete a couple passes? How do you look at it?
For me, like, if I take a couple bad touches or I do something wrong, like, the natural instinct I feel is like, you kind of just shy away and just try to, you know, try to get out of it. For me, it's just like, oh, I made a mistake. Okay, give me the ball back. Like, let me go again. You got to just keep going, because the second, you know, you get your feet and you do something nice, and then confidence starts to build again. But when I make a mistake, there's been times where I kind of just shy away. And then, you know, the whole game, I get 15 touches, 20 touches. You know, that's no good. And then there's times where, you know, I started to realize that, and I'm just like, no, I'm making a mistake. Let me get on the ball again. You know, let me check into the pocket, get on the ball again, get a better touch, you know, get down the line, put a cross in. And it's just, you got to just put yourself in uncomfortable situations, I felt. That's what helped me the most, just get in uncomfortable situations, put yourself in those situations all the time, because eventually you're going to start doing them correctly more than you do them wrong. So
absolutely. Yeah. And that brings me to, you know, really, really good point. And actually, you know, a video that Matt Sheldon put out that was very interesting. And what you said made me think of it. And I think he was at St. Louis at the time. And he was talking about, you know, this big time player who came from Europe to play for them. And he was like, man, this guy was just different. You know, a lot of the players here, they make mistakes and then they would shy away. But this guy, he just kept coming back and kept wanting the ball back. And he didn't care if he made mistakes. And, you know, you said it right there. That's what makes that great player. It's, you know, you get in there, you don't care if your teammates, you know, yell at you or you make the mistakes. You just keep getting in there and you show that you're confident. You show that belief in yourself. And then that wears off.
100%. I feel like it's almost like, you know, even some players that are here that have played at really high levels, they just tell me, it's almost like you got to be emotionalist, man, when you're playing. Like, you can't let things hurt you, man. Coach yelling at you, anything, like anything that comes your way when you're playing, you have to just brush it off because it's only 90 minutes of your life, So just give it everything that you got. And then after the game, you can deal with all the arguments and all the team talk later. But when you're playing, man, you got to honestly just be emotionalist. You got to just be a monster.
Yeah, I love it, bro. I love it. So yeah, when did you end up making that move to Ross County?
So it was beginning of, so the beginning of the European season here. So I was 12 games, 14 games in my second year with Valor, and had a couple good games there and scored some decent goals. And then there were talks because they signed, my brother was the first signing, my younger brother was the first signing. They needed a midfielder. They had to rebuild their team, and they were looking in the Canadian market for a couple of players, so they picked up my brother. And then they needed also another forward. So my brother was already here for a week. I was still in Valor, finished my game. My agent told me, Ross County, they want to sign you like right now. Like, you got to get your stuff sorted right now. So this is like mid-season in Canada. So I actually played the game, flew straight to Vancouver, got my visa, UK visa. And then I came down like 2 weeks after my brother. And it was like super, super quick. Like, and they wanted me to come in and train and play right away. So I came in, played my first game, did my knee again, first game. So beginning of this
Jeez,
year,
bro.
same knee,
Jeez.
did it again. And this time it wasn't as bad. I did my meniscus again and my sprain of MCL. So they're looking at like 4 months, and that was tough. And it was also on my birthday. So
Damn.
July 23rd, came here, played my first game, tore my knee again, and I got three assists in that game as well. So I did it right at the end of the game.
Jeez.
Yeah, so
Jeez,
it was
bro.
just, that was a roller coaster. It was very
Wow.
big. I was super happy. And then just the last play of the game, did my knee again. And honestly, I felt it. I felt my knees hurting in Canada a little bit. But when I heard the news that they wanted to sign me, I was just pushing. I was pushing. I was pushing. I didn't want to take any time off. Maybe if I took a couple weeks off and didn't play the games, I'd be okay. But I think that's just my mentality. Like, I'm just
I
gonna
feel
go until I break, honestly. So I felt my knee hurting a bit, and I was a bit worried about it. But when I came here, I kind of forgot about it again. And then, yeah, it happened. My first game here, had a really, really first game, and like we were talking about earlier, like when that happened, nobody really cared. Like, next person up, you're back down,
exactly.
recover, and it was
Revolving
just like so
door.
cutthroat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that happened the second time, and for me, I had no, there was no, I had no moment of like, depression or upset. Like right away, I was okay. I need to get back. Just right away, I was like, I need to get back. I've been through this before. I need to get back. So I was kind of thankful that I had those emotions instead of just being down, really down. Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, just like you said, I mean, also I think what a lot of people don't realize if they didn't play in Europe is, or even in Canada or in the States, when you're flying place to place, no one cares if you're jet lagged, no one cares if you're tired. They
No.
want you in training right away, they
Literally,
want you
yeah.
to play right away. So yeah, I mean, that's just the reality of the situation. But yeah, I mean, obviously, you dealt with it well. So, how did that rehab end up going?
That rehab, they had, it was, the rehab was really good. They had you doing a bunch of stuff. I was like with one person every single day. So like they're looking after you, your food, just like absolutely everything that you take, that you need to take care of yourself. And for me, that was really good rehab. I was supposed to be back. It was insane. I was supposed to be back in 3 months after the surgery. I was back in 3 weeks. So I was like,
Wow.
yeah, I came back super quick. It was still, I was at like 70%, honestly, when I came back, but I don't know. I wanted to play really badly, especially after, the amazing start that I had. And they were open with it. They're just like, if you can do these tests, if you can pass all these running tests, the cuts and the turns, we'll clear you to play. So I did that, done very well. I was training very well. And then I came back and I scored my debut as well right away against Aberdeen
Wow.
at home. So now it was a very, very good recovery, very fast. And we had the good doctors here, good physio. I'd done workouts that I've never even heard of before. I was doing things I've never heard of before, and it was healing very fast. So I was very happy with that.
That's awesome, bro. So what would you say the difference between, Scotland and Canada is, in terms of level, and then, level of professionalism, off the field, and how, the teams look after you, stuff like that.
Okay, so in Canada, I would say like it's more like a chill vibe, right? Like you know, before a game, you can go and get dinners. Like you can chill with the boys more. Like, you know, the coaches aren't really that strict in Canada. Obviously, you know, there's still a level of rules that you gotta follow and stuff. Like you can't be doing anything stupid. But like in Canada, it was more like chill. And then when in Europe here, it's just like, it's just super like, I don't know how to say it. Just like everyone is just so serious. You know, everyone is super serious because like, you know, these jobs that football here, I feel is just like, it's like a way of life almost. You know what I mean? And in Canada, it's just another sport. You know what I mean?
Exactly,
So over here,
exactly.
it's like a way of life. So they take it very, very seriously. Like you got to be with the team the night before the game. Like you can't do absolutely anything. Like it's super cutthroat. Like the coaches, staff, they don't really care too much about like what you got going on. It's just training games, training games. And in Canada, you know, it was more chill. Like you could have like a friendly conversation with your coach. Over here, like you're kind of scared to, you know what I mean? Because like that's big boss, you know, you don't want to kind of like upset him or anything. And in terms of like the actual playing, it was Canada was wasn't as aggressive. There's like it was technical. Canada was still a bit technical, but it wasn't as aggressive. And I came to Scotland here, and man, these people, they tackle like their lives depend on it, man. Like first training sessions, I got smashed a few times, hit in the head, bleeding from the mouth, and it's just like a regular thing. People are laughing about it and stuff. So for me, it was just the aggression and the speed of play. Like the way they pass the ball to you, they're just firing it in. And if you don't get a good touch, you're getting yelled at. You know what I mean? So it was just like you have to be ready at all moments. Whereas Canada was just like more chill, like it wasn't as serious.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you could correct me if I'm wrong. A lot of that has to do with, you know, obviously, like you said, it's a culture, it's a religion in Europe, especially in the UK. And then also, you know, the promotion relegation, I think, puts tons of pressure on the players, the staff. You know, it's the difference in, you know, could be millions of dollars, you know. So I think that's huge. I mean, one of my best buddies was playing in, you know, played many years in Israel in the top league for a couple of the top teams. Then he went on trial in the MLS. And I said, dude, how is the level? You know, and I thought he was going to say really good, but he was like, dude, to be honest with you know, it was good, but like, you know, guys aren't training as hard and they just, I don't think they feel the pressure. So I think that's interesting.
And I think that's one thing that the MLS, like that's not what North America needs to do, is have promotional relegation. I think that would change the game like completely,
Absolutely.
that
Absolutely.
up the level so much higher. Because like even like right now, our team, we're in a little bubble right now, you know. So we got to win next game if we don't want to go to relegation playoffs against a championship team. So that's where we're sitting at right now. And you know, the locker room, everyone's just like super antsy. Like we need to win these games, and it's super serious. Jobs are on the line. You know, if we get relegated, you know, the whole team's gonna change. Everyone, people are getting fired. You know, so it's just like it's so serious. And in North America, it's just like, oh, you finished last. Okay, I'll see you next season, bro.
For
Like, you
sure,
know.
for sure. With that being said, how did you how did the boys, you know, in Scotland welcome you into the locker room? You know, did you notice any difference between, you know, obviously you told us university was pretty, you know, tough, and then, you know, CPL. So how was it in Scotland?
It's over here. Like once you, I feel like once I came here, you kind of understand. Like I knew the level was gonna be like a lot bigger. So I knew right away, like if they're gonna like, you know, be hard on me, I have to just accept it. Like, you know, so it wasn't something new to me. So you know, when I came in here, like they were super welcoming. You know, a bunch of nice guys. But when it came to training and stuff, they were just like, you know, they're on your ass all the time. Like they don't take a break. They don't take a single break. And we got the fines here. I don't know if you know what the fines in Europe are. Like they're just an absolute joke. So, you know, like they're up to like you can get fined £100 for leaving something, you know, leaving a piece of equipment, you get fined like £50 or something. So now the boys, they're on you, but it's almost like they teach you. Like they were kind of just teaching me the way of the life in Europe instead of kind of just being on my ass more. But so that's what it was.
With that being said, you know, I know a lot of younger players deal with it. How do you deal with, you know, getting nagged on or getting yelled at by a teammate when you make a mistake?
Honestly, for me, I don't mind it. Like it doesn't really bother me too much. Like I feel if someone's yelling at me after making a mistake, like it's kind of just It's kind of just like it depends if it's constructive. Like if it's constructive, I just listen. Like if
Yeah.
I know I done wrong, I always listen. I never talk back. Like I'm kind of just like, yeah, my bad. But you know, if it's a situation where I feel like, you know, it's not really fair, I still myself, I don't say anything, but I just feel like it's kind of a reflection of how they're performing or you know how they
Exactly.
feel. So I never talk back, man. Like anybody can yell at me. Like I think that's one of the best things about me is just I'm just super calm. I don't like to cause any problems or anything with anyone, coaches. So if you're gonna yell at me, just like it's fine. It doesn't really bother me too much. My
Sure,
parents been
sure.
yelling at me my whole life, so
Yeah, I mean, just, everything we've been talking about, I think, especially when you're getting yelled at, I mean, I think a lot of, guys, they want you to react, but if you just chill with it and you're
yeah.
calm and you don't say anything, they got nothing to work off of.
And they
So,
respect that as well.
absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, bro. So with that being said, can you go real quick, into a day in your life, in Scotland, what time you wake up, when you eat breakfast, what you eat for breakfast, training, and then I want to get a little bit into your, extra work you do off the field as well.
Okay, so for me, it'd basically be like we get up around 8:30. 8:30, so we get to the facility around, we got a report for 9:15. So we get there for 9:15 and we all eat breakfast together. So you can have something at the house if you want, but for me, I just get up, shower, get to training session facility at 9:15, and there they got breakfast for us. Usually for me, I kind of stop eating breakfast, like a lot of breakfast. For me, I'll just have like oats and yogurt, banana, and a water bottle. Like for my breakfast is just really light. I like to be light on my feet in the morning when I start training. So after that, we do our prehab. So prehab is like you just go on the bike, do some bands, like 30 minutes. Not all players do it, but I do it. And then after that, we go into the training session. So that's an hour and a half, sometimes 2 hours. And sometimes we'll have like set pieces at the end if we have a game before. So that training will take us all the way up until like 12, 12:30, 1 p.m. And then after that, we have lunch. So we eat lunch with the boys. We all eat lunch together and they set it up for you. And it's really good stuff. You got pasta, rice, fish, and just a bunch of veggies. They try to stay away from too much oils, you know. So, and then after that, we get to the gym session. So we'll have a gym session after lunch. We'll just chill for an hour, play darts, play pool or something like that. Let the food digest, and then we get gym from like 2 to 3:30. And then after the gym session, this is a thing that we do called the last hour of the day. So you do your biking for 20 minutes, stretching for 20 minutes, ice bath, all that stuff. And then it brings you right up until like 4 or 4:30, and then I'm back home around like 5, 5:15, and then I'll have my food out. Like I like to have like chicken, beef, rice, vegetables, and that's just it. I don't really try too many foods, to be honest. I'll just have like my basic chicken, rice, pasta, fish. So then I'll cook that for my dinner, and then from there on, I think I'm in bed around like 10, 10:15. 'Cause after a long day, I don't like to take naps because when I take naps, it kind of just ruins my whole cycle. So I like to just stay up, do some work, and then by around 9:30, I'm just laying in bed, just chilling on my phone. And then I like to have everything off around 10, 10:30, phone off, computer off, everything, and then I'll just sit there, fall asleep by 11. So
Nice.
that's like a regular day for like a training day. But for me, like if I'm just like an off day, like today I'm not doing anything, I'll wake up, I don't eat breakfast at all. And I'll have my first meal around probably after we finish this chat, like two to three. I've been following this intermittent fasting and I feel like it's just been helping my body a lot. I feel very energetic and just, you know, my joints and stuff feel a lot better for me. So I have my first meal around 2. And before that, like I'll go on a walk. I'll do lots of reading, lots of writing, go on a walk. Sometimes I'll go for a jog or go to the gym and stuff. And then I'll have my first meal around 2 to 3. And it'll be like a decent meal. Chicken, same thing, sweet potatoes, rice, pasta, beef. And then after that, I will just chill, won't do too much, just hang out, watch movies or something like that, stretch. I like to stretch every day for about half an hour. So
Nice.
I'll do my stretching for half an hour, and then I'll just, you know, just talk to my friends, call my friends back home, help out my little brother if he needs something. And then from there on, I'll eat dinner around 8, and then after that, I'm literally just in bed like 10:30. So
Yeah, I mean, as we always talk about, I mean, it's the basic things, the simple things that work,
exactly.
People think it's glamorous, but you're just doing the right things, the right habits consistently, and that's what's bringing you the results.
And for me, it's like I feel like a lot of younger athletes, a lot of people that, you know, want to get to this level. I feel like they think that it's like so much stuff is going on, but you got to literally do the boring things, the basic things to, to become successful. So I think it's just, at first I didn't like it. I was like, this is boring, man. This is like everyday thing, the same, the same, the same. But once you lock onto a routine and it's helping you, you're going to really start to see the positives of it, and then you're going to just enjoy it. So
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing better than, getting into a routine, seeing the results, and just getting into the flow of things,
I'm kind of curious about your routine.
Yeah, I mean, something similar, I wake up 8:30. Then I'll usually, get into the sunlight, do a 10 to 15 minute walk. I try to get into morning sun as quickly as possible. Get 2 glasses of water in, either sparkling or still water with, some pink Himalayan sea salt to rehydrate. Then I get my first, one or two cups of coffee in. Then I'll do my breath work. And then, at about 10:30, I leave for our, morning training. We have morning training about 11 to 1. Then I'll do, some of my prehab stuff afterwards, either prehab or some gym work. And then I have a nice block where I work, from about, 1:30 till about 5:30. Then I do, I get ready for our evening session at 6:30. Do some pre-activation, hit the evening session, and then evening session ends about 9:15. Do my stretching, have a meal, and then go to sleep.
Nice, nice.
Yeah, so quite similar, and I love the routine, and then I think for me, I even like being more routine than spontaneous. I mean, obviously on my off days, I like enjoying myself. What are your favorite like off day activities to kind of get your mind off football?
Dang, that's, I don't really do too much, man. Honestly, let me
Right.
see. Like,
Besides chatting up some things in Scotland.
honestly, I mean, that's one of them.
Yeah. That's not bad, bro.
I would say, I want to say golf, maybe. I started getting into
That's a good
golf
one.
more. Yeah,
That's a good
just
one.
because you're out in the sun still, it's really, like you said, it's really good to get sunlight. Golf, and then me and my brother, we'll just go out on walks, man. Just literally just going on walks. Like to have ice cream. So just like pretty
Love
boring
that.
stuff, man, honestly. Like I don't really like play video games, but I recently stopped playing video games. I just get too angry, I start raging, and it's not good. So
For sure. Man gets more angry at video games than playing footy,
but yeah, honestly, just probably just golf. I like to just stay outside and just do stuff.
For sure. For sure. Yeah, bro. So just a couple more questions before we let you go. I know you're getting hungry, bro. I'm fasting.
Yeah,
I'm
no,
getting
it's all
hungry
good, it's all
myself.
good.
But yeah, could you just take us through real quick? I'm sure in the UK they're really big into the gym. Obviously you said it's a very physical league. How does a gym session look for you guys?
Gym
Like on a
sessions,
hard day.
so on a hard day, so we'll have like 3 a week. 2 of them are hard, and then 2 of them are pretty light, just kind of maintenance stuff for the games. So the regular session would be like, you do your regular warm up and stuff. And they focus a lot on like your quads, hamstrings, and then your arms as well, and your shoulders. Like there's guys that are, like 100 kilo on each arm, and they're pumping it like it's crazy. And I'm like, you guys are footballers, it's nuts. So you just got to be super strong so you can shield the ball off. Because over here it's like it's a fighting game, long ball football fighting game. You got to hold the ball up. So you'll do, I don't know, you'll do your bench presses, you'll do your shoulder press, you'll do your rows. Bunch of squats, a lot of split squats as well, and then you'll have like a serious core session. Like this core sessions are mad, like 1.5 minutes on the front, 1.5 minutes on the side, 1.5 minutes on the side. And it's like some people can't even do that, you know what I mean? When I first came, I couldn't even do that. I couldn't lift half the weights these guys were lifting, but I'm kind of getting to it now. So it's a lot of upper body and quads and hamstrings and stuff. So they make fun of me for my skinny legs, but I can still squat a lot. So yeah.
Yeah, I
And the
mean,
thing is, like,
if you're running past them, who cares about how much you
yeah,
lift?
and the thing is, how you would usually split it up as like you do back or something like that one day, they'll just do full body Every
Full
single,
body.
yeah. So you do full
Okay.
body, head to toe, everything.
Savages.
3 times a week, yeah. It's savage, man.
Yeah, I mean, beach season's coming around, so it doesn't hurt to hit the upper, you know?
Yeah, you know, like I'm always looking good for beach season. It doesn't matter what day.
Have you noticed, obviously, you probably train more in the gym with the team in Scotland, right, than you did in the CPL?
Yeah. And CPL was like, it wasn't as mandatory. Like they say you do it, some guys will do it, you know, sometimes you train in the gym, some guys will just won't even do it all season. But over here it's just like it's the most strictest thing, I think, over here in Europe. Get your ass in the gym. Like you miss the gym, like they'll fine you hundreds of pounds. Like you gotta be in the gym a certain time and you gotta get out a certain time. And you got two physios there and they're watching you, and you know, and they're there to like support you. If you're doing it lazy, they'll sit there and they'll make sure like you get the full form range of motion. So it was a very serious environment for you in the gym. But for me, honestly, I loved it. Like I love going to the gym now. So yeah,
Have
I
you
definitely go
noticed
first.
difference on the pitch, how you feel ever since,
Oh
implementing the
yeah.
stricter
For
work?
me, right away, like my speed increased. And also just like with my knees and like, you know, after my second surgery, like I wasn't really as confident in the beginning. But now I can like cut as faster than I could before, stuff like that. And it's just like they give you like gym specific things for like, you know, like the type of player you are. Like not everyone is doing the exact same thing. There'll be like, you know, goalkeepers will do their own thing, defenders and midfielders will do their own thing, and then the forwards will do their own thing. Like we do a lot of banners instance training as well. And you know, it's just to get my feet going so I can cut faster, I can jump higher and stuff. And that's one thing I really like. Like they really look at you as a person and they help you with what you need. So
Super important. Yeah, bro. I mean, been a great conversation. Just got last couple questions here. If you could go back to any age, with the knowledge that you have today,
Oof.
what age would you go to, and what would you tell yourself?
I'm going to Dang. I'm gonna say I'm going to age. I'm going right to age 14. I'm going to age 14 and I'm telling myself, like, you know exactly how this is gonna play out now. Now you just do everything better. Like the dumb mistakes that I made, you know, the times where I was just like, oh, I don't want to train today, or I'm gonna go hang out with my friends, or you know, I'm gonna go party, I'm gonna go do this, I'm gonna go do that. I would literally cut all that off and just from there on have the same mentality and the same focus and the same routine that I have right now, you know. If I was 14 and I was
I
stretching
love
every
that.
day and I was gymming more, I was taking care of my body, who knows, maybe I wouldn't have got injured, you know. I would have been such a stronger player, you know, more mentally strong. So I'll go back to 14 because I feel like from 12 to 14, those first couple of years, like that for me, that was really fun. And I needed that in my life to kind of fall in love with the sport. But 14, 15, go back and just from there on, just take it as serious as I can.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. That's what a lot of these big time, guys did. They get into the European Academy at 14,
Yes.
15, and they just get dialed, and
Exactly.
make great advice, man. I just posted something the other day that I fully, subscribe to, and I wish I told my younger self as well, is, stop listening to these people who are giving you the opinions of where you're gonna play, your potential, especially as a
Literally.
young player, because they don't know. Or you don't even know. The higher power doesn't even know what your potential is if you do all these right things. If
Literally.
you're doing, the right routines, the right habits, if you're following the advice from guys like Matt Sheldon, 7MLC, myself, who are trying to help these younger kids. If you actually follow that and you're consistent, you don't even know your potential. So yeah, I mean, like you said, I think that's big time advice.
Like it's like and that's the same thing. It's like these young kids are following, like they're just following so much. Like I see so much stuff online and everything, and I'm just like, that's just so incorrect, you know. And it's just these young kids are just absolutely following it and they're drawn into it. And it's like, no, like the only recipe for a good career to be professional is the basics, the boring stuff, just the simple things. You got to do them
Yes,
right every single day, you know what I mean. Go to sleep at 10 o'clock every single day, you know. Don't sit up and watch. Like it's just little things, and it's like it's all there for them, they just need to follow it. And it's
Bro, amen. I mean, multiple thoughts on that. I mean, I always say the best things are going to help you get to the next level are free.
Free.
sunlight, sleep, water, doing the right habits. And like you said, it's the boring stuff that adds up, but it's not sexy for Instagram or YouTube. That's the problem, you know? So I think, like you said, I mean, you got to follow the guys who are out where you want to be at, who've worked with the guys you want to be where you want to be. It's following the proof and not listening to these quick fixes of, this and that, and buying this product and that product. It's, exactly, it's listening to the routine you just laid out and following that consistently,
Like I was watching this film on Mbappe and stuff, and when he was like 9 years old, he was on a strict routine that he follows to this day. And it's just like, look where he's at right now. You know what I mean? A lot of kids think he's like some superstar and everything, and it's like, no. His life is, you guys have no idea. He follows a strict routine since he was 9 years old, you know?
Absolutely.
And
Absolutely.
even guys like Hunmin Song, I did some reading on him, and it's just like, his dad was so strict on him. No girls, no friends, no partying. But like, look where he's at right now. Like, right? So it's just little things like that.
And I think, a lot of the people nowadays, like you said, that are trying to create this media hype, they're trying to shun the gym. They're trying to, and they do it because it brings the eyes, because, obviously the gym has been, and doing the right training and the weight work, it's all needed. It's been backed up by scientific proof. But people want to, bash others because that's what gains the hype. And like you said, doing the right stuff and the boring stuff is what works. I mean, you're a simple, anecdote. You talked about how, obviously you have that naturally inborn talent. You do. But you've continued to build it. You continue to build it. You've played at higher levels. You're incorporating gym work. You're doing all the right routines. And you wouldn't be where you're at right now with all that discipline. So, there is some level of, yes, inborn talent, but you have to marinate that. You have to constantly feed it to help it grow.
Exactly. And the thing is, it's like what I say is, as you start to get older, you start to kind of, your body kind of breaks down a little bit. Like mentally, you get tired and stuff. So it's very good to start these habits early, because as you get older,
Exactly.
like, it gets tougher, man. You start to kind of just fade away from the sport a little bit. So you got to get it done nice and early.
I wanted to head to the end of the interview, but one thing I want to touch on that's a must is, your first appearance with the national team. When did that come?
So that was a year and a half ago. I had my first camp. Actually, it was 2 years ago. When I turned pro, they wanted me to come out right, like, right away that year. And I was like, this was kind of during COVID at the same time, so I couldn't go that year because COVID, and they canceled everything for my first camp. But I kind of knew, like, okay, if I keep performing, I'll get my next call up. So my first call up was just right mid-season, my first year with Valor. And that was like a crazy experience. Like, obviously, I had aspirations to play for Canada, but like for me, I knew it's gonna be a lot tougher to crack that team, especially with the guys like Jonathan David, Alfonso, Tejan. Like, they're playing for like top five leagues in Europe, scoring a bunch of goals. They've been in through the academy and stuff. And and this is my country. This is where I came from, and they want me to come represent and play a big role. So I decided to, I'm gonna play for my country. And I went there, man. It was amazing. I got picked up. President came, picked me up straight from the airport. It was crazy. And like the two guys driving in the front, the two drivers driving in the front, South Sudan is like very, it's like a war country kind of still. So they were sitting in the front with AK-47s, just like sitting there. And I'm sitting in the back of the president, and he's telling me like, "Oh, don't worry, like it's okay. This is just for my security and everything." And it was just like super eye-opening. Get there. I haven't been back to my country since I left when I was three, so it was quite emotional, man. Just to see how my people are living and stuff. It's very sad, but so for me to go there and give them hope that one day they can be in my position, that for me that was everything. So went there, had my first game. I stepped onto the field, man. Almost felt like tearing up and stuff. I was like, this is sick. Play for national team. They gave me the number 10. Like it's amazing and stuff. I still haven't scored yet. I'm going into my I'm going back June. We have a qualifier game again. I only have one assist, but it's my I really want to score, so I think I'll score next camp. I'm gonna pray on that. But
For
no, it was
sure.
amazing, amazing. The guys are amazing there. All the kids there, they're just always asking me for tips, for help, like, how's Canada, how's America, how's Europe and stuff. And I feel blessed to be playing for my national team, but
for sure.
It's an amazing thing.
For sure. Yeah, dude. I mean, I always say, you know, two of my best friends on the team are both African. You know, one's from Nigeria and one's from Cameroon. And
Cameroon,
dude, yeah. I just love the good vibes that African players bring, you know? Like,
it's unreal.
It's nothing different, bro. You know, laughing, joking around. You know, when game time comes, they're serious. But you need that. You need that little bit of joking and that banter, you know, to have fun, you know?
And that's the thing I realized right away, man. It's like, I got there just like so loving. It's unreal, man. It was just like, oh my goodness. Even just like the trainings, like, you know, you get mad at each other sometimes, right? Like, you put in a hard tackle, but like nobody, like no one complains. No one is moaning. There's nothing. You make a mistake, it's right away. What I read, like, a mistake happens right away. Five guys around him. Let's win the ball back. Let's help help him out. You know, it's not like what the heck are you doing? Like, you know, you're doing something wrong. So it was just such a loving environment. And you know, before games and stuff, we're dancing in the hotels. Guys have the speakers on, and it's just such a good vibe. You know,
it
sets you ready for the game. So
for sure.
So right now we're tied for second in our group. So if we win the game in 2 weeks here in back home, which I think we'll have a good chance to, because we're playing at home against Gambia. Mm. We'll only need a point to qualify for AFCON for next year. Mm. So that'll be the first time in history, and that'll be massive for our country. So
Maybe you'll score. I'm sure you'll score a couple bangers, man.
Man, hopefully. I feel like I'm gonna score. I feel good. I'm ready for this game.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. So, you know, just a couple quick fire questions to end off. You know, you could answer, you know, in a couple words or as many words as you want. Best player you played against?
I'm gonna say McGregor on Celtic.
Okay. Yeah. Best player you've played with?
Best player I played with. Oh my goodness. I'm gonna say Rafael Gallardo. When I was at Valor, he was with Brazil, won the World Cup U20 with Neymar and all these guys. So he was amazing to watch. Yeah.
For sure. Dream destination to travel and to play at.
To play, I would love to play in the Premier League. Obviously, Chelsea represent. We're not doing too good. And to travel, I'm gonna say Maldives.
Oh, that's a good one. Favorite vacation you've ever taken?
I'm gonna say Spain with my brother. We went we went to Spain. We went to Tenerife.
Oh, not bad. Favorite cheat meal.
Favorite cheat meal? McDonald's, man. Simple.
What do you order in a McDonald's?
Just get a Big Mac. Just a big Mac combo, no pickles, extra cheese, supersize that, Coke, no ice.
Love that, bro. and your favorite healthy meal?
My favorite healthy meal, I'm gonna say, is granola. Just like oats.
Love that. All right, brother. Yeah, I really appreciate it. Tons of great insight here. A lot of banter, man. Anything you want to end off with?
I just want to say, just for everyone, young kids watching and stuff, just honestly, just enjoy the journey. Enjoy it. Don't stress too much. You know, at the end of the day, like, yes, you guys want to, you know, reach your dreams, become professional, but, you know, don't let it take away from, you know, yourself. You know, just do the right things, do the basic things. And, you know, we're only here for one time, man. Everyone's only got one life. So just like work hard, do the right things, and promise you, like, whatever you want will happen. So
absolutely. I love it, bro. I wanted to touch off with one last thing. You said you read. What's your favorite book that you would, if you were to give it to your younger self, what book would you give yourself?
What book? So here, I'm actually just going to grab it right now.
Okay.
This is my favorite book. Give me a second.
Yeah, I got you. He's bringing two.
Sorry about that.
No worries, bro. My man brought two, huh?
Yeah, so this is the first one. So I've read this one like three times now. Take a lot of notes on it. It's called Unlimited Power by Anthony Robbins.
Yeah, love it. Love it.
Just talks about, like, people don't know how strong they are mentally. You know, they let social media, they let things around them just corrupt their minds. But this book kind of just lets you know, like, how powerful you are as a human being, as a person. And, you know, it'll just set you straight. It'll get you thinking about things that you probably never thought about before in your life. And it'll just help you mentally. So this book, I'm reading it the third time now. Just taking notes on it and stuff. It just really helps. And then this book here.
Love it. I
This is
love it.
my this is my this is my book right here. So Holy Bible. So I like to
Love
just
it, brother.
read praises when I'm feeling down or something like that. I'll just open it up. I like Psalms, all the Psalms.
Yeah. What's your favorite quote? Or, you know.
Commit to the Lord and he shall give you everything. So
Love it, bro. I
yeah.
love it, man. Appreciate the time, bro. If people want to reach out, you know, where's the best place to reach out, ask for some advice?
Honestly, probably just my Instagram at William Accio. And yeah, just my Instagram, William Accio. Also, I do have a YouTube channel and stuff, but I haven't been uploading for a while. I've kind of just been getting on with the season, figuring my stuff out.
Yeah.
And I've been getting a lot of stick for it. But yes, I'll be making a lot of videos very
For
soon
sure.
again. So
Yeah, I mean, but the best way to, you know, prove to your fans and show your fans, you know, how much you've been working is the results on the field. So
yeah.
that's been coming, man. So
For sure.
dope, man. Thanks, bro. I gotta come, you know, watch you play sometime and we kick it afterwards.
100%. Where are you staying at right now?
I'm in Latvia, Eastern Europe.
You're in Latvia. Okay. Oh, one of my friends plays in Latvia right now. My national team teammate, Manny.
Okay, what's his last name?
Manny Quetch.
What club do you know?
I think it's a pretty decent club, to be honest. Let me see. Maybe I'll put you in touch with him. He's
All right,
Manny.
let me just end this pod. Guys, thank you for watching. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Let's thank our boy William.
Thank you,
He's
guys. Thank you for
building
having me,
those
bro.
delts. He's building those delts for summer. We see that. A lot of
Come on,
shoulder
you know your boy,
presses.
boy. Awesome. All right.